morning, everybody. Can y'all hear me back in the back? Just this morning, as I was studying over my Sunday school lesson, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about prayer and faith. And I was just thinking, just this morning, you know, we put a lot of time, a lot of us do, put a lot of time into deer hunting, to going deer hunting. We buy the stuff we need, we put the corn out and the feed out for the deer to come. And we spend a lot of time in the woods hunting and waiting on the deer. We buy the rifles and the scopes that we need and the trucks that we need to go hunting. And we put a lot of time and effort into that kind of thing. But what kind of time and effort are we putting into the things of the Lord? And I was just thinking about that. And this morning, we're going to be talking about prayer and unwavering faith. If you got your Bible, turn over to Mark chapter 11. Verses 24, or 23 and 24. It says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." You know, perfect faith always has in its possession what perfect prayer asks for. What is perfect faith? It is believing that God is going to do what we ask. Our chief concern is with our faith, the problems of its growth, and the activities of its vigorous maturity, a faith that grasps and holds the very things it asks for without wavering, doubt, or fear, is the faith that we need. The statement of our Lord about faith and prayer quoted above is of supreme importance. Faith must be definite and specific and unmistakable request for the things asked for. It is not to be a vague, indefinite, shadowy thing. It is to be definite, specific, asking for and expecting the things for which we ask. Look again at Mark 11:23. It says about midway of the verse, "And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass." Now, when we pray for something, and we ask the Lord for something, you know, we need to believe that he's going to do it. Otherwise, you know, why are we even asking? Just as far as the faith and the asking are definite, so also the answer will be. Faith and prayer select the subjects for petition, thereby determining that God is to do whatsoever he says shall be done. Christ holds himself ready to supply exactly and fully all the demands of faith and prayer. God will fill it exactly in accordance with the presented terms. You know, he don't give us everything we ask for, but he gives us what the things that's according to his will. And, you know, we can ask for all kind of things, but just like I say, you got to believe that he's going to do it. After World War II, a British missionary lady named Miss Irene set up an orphanage for the abandoned children of American soldiers and Japanese women. She led those little girls to the Lord and taught them the Bible. There was one of the little girls there who was sick and bedridden. After hearing a lesson taught on Mark 11:24, this little girl began to pray for God to move a mountain that blocked her view of the ocean. When the other little girls got to go to the beach, she couldn't go because of her illness. She prayed that God would get rid of the mountain so she could at least see the ocean. Well, Miss Irene told that little girl that Jesus wasn't talking about literal mountains, but that sick little girl kept on praying. She was so persistent in her prayers that all the other girls in the orphanage joined her in praying. One day after Miss Irene returned from a furlough in England, she saw all those little girls beside that sick little girl's window, and to her amazement, the mountain was gone, and the sick little girl had a clean view of the ocean. What happened to the mountain, she asked. Men with bulldozers came and moved the mountain away. They said what happened was the coastline was being eroded away, so the town used the mountain for field dirt on the coast. Mountains are moved all the time by earthquakes, avalanches, dynamite, bulldozers, and so on. God answers prayers, and sometimes he uses men to do it. Just like the prayers of the orphans there in Japan, if you have mountains in your life that you want God to move, be specific about what you are praying for. You know, God wants us to be specific when we pray for something. You know, he wants us to tell him exactly what we're praying for. Be persistent about what you're praying for. And get others involved in your praying. Faith deals with God's word and lays hold on the truth. It deals with the Spirit of God and is energized and inspired by the Holy Ghost. God is the great objective of faith, for faith rests its whole weight on his word. Faith is not an aimless act of the soul, but a looking to God and resting upon his promises. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for it by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." In John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You know, it's easy for us to believe in something that we can visibly see, but if we can't see it, then it's a little bit harder for us to believe, so we have to believe on that by faith. Faith is not believing just anything. It is believing God, resting in him, and trusting in his word. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 through 31, it gives us a list of the great heroes of faith. It says in verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Verse 5, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Verse number 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verse number 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commanded the world and condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Verse number 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." And in drop down to verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. What a glorious list of these men and women of faith. What marvelous achievements that are recorded here and set to the credit of faith. The inspired writer of Hebrews goes on to say in verses 32 and 34, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who, though through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edges of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. What a glorious era of achievements would dawn for the church and the world if only a lineage of saints of similar mighty faith and wonderful praying could be produced. It is not people of great intelligence that the church needs, nor the people of wealth, or the people of great social influence. Above everybody and everything else, it is the people of faith. It is people of mighty prayer, men and women like the saints and the heroes listed in Hebrews, who were approved by their testimony of faith. That is the kind of people that the church and the whole wide world needs today as much as any other time. We need people of great faith and people who are great in prayer. Faith and prayer are the two essential virtues that make men and women great in the eyes of the Lord. These two things create conditions of real spiritual success in the life and work of the church. Doubt and fear are the twin foes of faith. Sometimes they actually take the place of faith, and although we pray many times, we pray doubting and sometimes complaining. Peter failed to walk to Jesus upon the water because of doubt and fear. Peter allowed the wind and the waves to overpower his faith. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 29 through 31. It says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' When Peter took his eyes off the Lord, he immediately saw the wind blowing, and he was afraid. Because of Peter's lack of faith, he began to sink and cried out to Jesus for help. And Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him." Many times when we are in the midst of the storms of life and we have doubt and fear, all we need is just enough faith to cry out to the Lord. A simple confiding faith, living day by day and casting its burden on the Lord each hour of the day, would dissipate fear and deliver from doubt. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." As we just read in Philippians 4, 6, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Prayer is the essence of worship and devotion. Supplication is entreating, earnest pleading for personal needs. Prayer is a general term. Supplication is definite and detailed. Thanksgiving should always accompany a prayer or a petition. We should be anxious for nothing, prayerful for everything, and thankful for anything. And I got a few things about prayer. Number one, thanksgiving. Give thanks every time we pray. It is such an important part of our prayer. Intercessory prayer, number two. This method of prayer is how we should pray when we stand in the gap for someone who is too weak to stand on their own. You know, we should always be willing to stand in the gap for somebody else when they ask us to pray. You know, a lot of times I see people, you know, "Pray for me," and people say, "Well, I'll pray for you," but do you really pray for them? Do you really just stand in the gap? Do you just get on your knees and pray to the Lord and really believe what you're praying when you pray to Him? Number three, petition prayer. Supplication is one of the most used forms of prayer. It is usually in our time of need. Don't be afraid to ask God for what you need. You know, He said that He'll supply all of our needs. He didn't say He'll supply some of our needs. He says He'll supply all of our needs, but we got to ask Him, and we got to believe that He's going to do it. Number four is fasting. This can be done by many different things. You know, you can do it by withholding from food, social media, watching TV, and many other things. And just take the time and pray instead. Number five, repentance. Repentance is important when approaching God and needs to be done often. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." You know, we gotta repent of our sins. We gotta go to God with a clean heart when we pray to Him and believe that He's gonna do something. Scripture prayers. You know, get out your Bible and start praying scriptures. Add your name into the scripture and make it personal. I looked up some, and you can start over in Psalms. If you want to look over at Psalms chapter 18. Psalms Psalms 18, 1 through 6, it says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You know, we can put our name everywhere that it says I right there and pray that prayer. Turn over to Psalms 19:14. It says in 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, that's the kind of prayers that the Lord wants to hear. He wants us to you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And then look at Psalms 23:1-6. We all know this one. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparedest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 26:1-3. This one here says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. You know, that's something we all ought to be praying for the Lord, you know. Tell the Lord to judge us, to show us what we're doing wrong. Examine me. And prove me and try my reins and my heart. And then we'll look at one more. Psalms 27:11. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. And then the next one we'll look at, number 7, is corporate prayer. You know, praying with a group of believers at church or at other large gatherings is one of the most powerful methods of prayer. God hears the cries of his people. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. And that right there, these all continue with one accord, that means all people, this like-minded people, they're not going outside of what they believe and praying with people that don't believe the same thing that they do. They're praying with like-minded Christians. And it's in prayer and supplication. And that's what we ought to be doing as a church and outside of the church. And number 8 is listening. Many times we pray to God and ask him to do this or that, but do we ever just spend some time in silence waiting for God to speak to us? Sometimes God just wants us to listen. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. You know, just like I was saying a while ago, a lot of times we spend a lot of time doing the things that we want to do that pleases the flesh, but how much time do we actually spend doing the things that the Lord wants us to do? You know, they've been several times, you know, just this past Friday, I took off work a little early to take Caitlin hunting. You know, we take off work to go do the things that please the flesh, but do we take off work to do the things that please the Lord? And that's what I got for today. We got any questions or comments? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just allowing us to come out to your house, Lord, and just study your word for a few minutes, Lord. I pray that you just be with the next hour. I pray that you just be with Brother Drew during the preaching. I pray that you be with the singing, Lord, and I pray that you just be with all the ones that come out, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.